I have two older sisters, and they would go to bed at like 9, and I was stuck going to bed at like 8. And you're like, why can't I stay up? Like, right. you feel entitled by something, and I think get so wrapped up in feeling that we are entitled to get something. And that's so much of an idea that we put in our head of I deserve, I'm entitled to that pay raise, I'm entitled to that thing, and we just get stuck. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and with the power of his spirit, do better. So together, we can be a little better. Welcome to the A Little Better podcast. I'm your host, Callum, and we're talking about the last of the Ten Commandments about coveting today. And today to talk about it, we have Nate Miller, campus pastor at Webster, and my worship counterpart, Brittany McCracken. And we're discussing a message that, Nate, you preached. But before we dig into it, I'd love to encourage you. This just really helps us out to give us some feedback. If you would like and subscribe, if you have listened to the podcast more than twice, I would count you as a regular listener, that if you can just like and subscribe, that is really helpful feedback to us to know that this is actually helping you. But let's dig in. So we're talking about coveting. So Nate, you've obviously preached this message this weekend. I'd love for you to give us the bird's eye view. What is actually the commandment? Give us a bird's eye view of your message.
Yeah, sure. So coveting, we shouldn't covet. And in Exodus 20:17, he lists a bunch of things there, like about your neighbor, but essentially he's just getting at the idea of like, don't covet whatever your neighbor has. And so just tried to spend some time unpacking what in the world does coveting even mean, and just how it's ultimately, he's not saying don't desire things, don't want things, but it's more the direction of our desires. And is that direction pointed at something that isn't best for us or not even meant for us? And so So to covet just means to desire something, and that's not always a bad thing. And so we talk through, how do we know then? Like, how do you know, like, if that desire is moving from a good place to an unhealthy place? We talked about how if we're struggling to find contentment with where God has us right now, that might be an indicator we're moving into, you know, desiring something in an unhealthy way. Or even we talked to just compromising. Are you settling? Are you sinning? Are you changing your values to try to get something? So we talked about kind of how we can know. And then I also just talked through as well, like, just why do we do it? You know, we lack patience, or we truly aren't delighting ultimately in God. And then just tried to give some practical things at the end to help us push back against that, of taking God's word, holding on to his promises, and ultimately just inviting God into our heart and our desires to see and say, like, what's out of line? What am I not seeing right or desiring in an improper way? But just trying to bring the series to a close, and just what the whole point, again, of these Ten Commandments are, about how they're to shape us, they're to form us, they're to invite us in, not to earn God's love, but to live in light of it or in response of it, that these are good things, good principles, good guides for our lives.
Yeah. Well, that's been a great podcast. You want to come back next week? That was a really good summary.
That was my whole summary.
It's a really good summary. I want to slow down a little bit. There's a lot to, I think, unpack here. Give us a working definition. I think you kind of skimmed past it a little bit, but I want to dig into a little bit more. Give us a working definition of coveting.
Of coveting.
It's quite like an old school term.
Yeah.
We don't really talk about it much.
What's the working definition? Coveting is just desiring something. I think in the Christian world, coveting is a negative word, because for whatever reason, maybe the way it's phrased in Exodus 20 verse 17, like, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. So it's, I guess, a working definition would be like to desire something that isn't meant for you.
Right.
How do we know, or give us the distinction of, how do we know if something is for us or not for us?
Well, I think sometimes that's easy. Like, sometimes I think that's cut and dry. Like, I think the example I gave of, like, it's fine to notice, you know, if you're a single guy, to notice an attractive, you know, lady, and then to even pursue a relationship. But clearly, if you continue to carry that out when you know that that woman is taken or, you know, off limits, and you continue to pursue that, that is very clearly a good God-given desire for companionship, for marriage, is now turned into something you're pursuing that is not good or for you. I think that can play itself out in a number of different ways too, like materially speaking as well. Like I'm now coveting or even beginning to become resentful for my situation or where I'm at in life because I'm no longer content or I'm like chasing after these other things versus finding my delight in God. So I don't know if that answers the question or helps provide more clarity.
Did you
there.
Say short definition?
Yeah, working, I don't do short.
Working definition. Something in preparing for this episode, I was really curious to know if coveting is more specifically to do with material things or is it to do with, it could be a skill, it could be like the interpersonal thing. Mm-hmm. Is it solely to do with materialistic things or does it go beyond that?
I think it goes beyond. Like, I wish I could sing like you. I wish I could Aww. Sing like you. I always wanted to like secretly be a worship leader. Do you remember that one time I actually tried to lead worship? I did it for one Sunday and they were like, no.
What? They said it was bad? I don't remember it being bad.
So I don't know, is that a material thing? But that's a talent or a skill someone has that like, man, I would love to be able to do that, but.
It would be hard to covet. I mean, yes, like maybe in your heart. Maybe I'm like totally off base. But like coveting something you truly can't gain. Like, is there really anything you can even do about that that would, like, make you compromise values? Or, I guess, in the sin way of coveting, like, something like that, it's, like, bitterness. Like, not feeling like what God Correct. Gave you as your gifts
yeah,
is enough.
Yeah, like, I'm resenting God now. Or I'm coveting Callum's ability to sing so much that I'm now frustrated at the gifts he's given me. Or desiring to be someone I'm not when God just hasn't wired me that way. And that's okay. That's fine. But I think coveting can lead to frustration, can lead to discontentment, can lead to, I think, other unhealthy desires that like are now starting to show up in my heart.
Yeah.
So I thank you to the refuse company that's coming to take our garbage away.
Disposal, if you hear the beeping, if you can hear that.
It's either like the garbage truck or birds for some reason that love this time
wow,
that we
that
record.
Wow, that is right outside.
Let me get a little practice. So me and my family just got back from Scotland. And Carl and I talk about the privilege and also frustration that we are a binational country, or binational family. Like, I'm from Scotland, she's from the States, my boys have dual citizens. And there's part of me that just, man, I wish that it, not necessarily it wasn't so, because there's a beauty to that. And some people probably look at us and be like, oh, I wish we could go to Scotland every year, whatever. But there's a piece of us that desires the simplicity of it not being that way. At what point does it become coveting? And at what point is just a healthy desire for either simplicity or there's a healthy desire? Because you say this in your message too of it's either a desire that's not from you or it's to do with the direction of your desire.
Yeah, I think in terms of that example, like if you are... If what's flowing out of you, because right, that's a good desire. That it's a good thing to like realize the like opportunity that could exist there of being just not dual citizens, but being somewhere. So I guess if like I don't know, I would be looking for like if you're starting to be frustrated, if you're starting to be upset at one another, or like it's resulting in not being able to experience the peace and joy with where God has you and your family, that to me would then be maybe some indicators of like, this is moving into, I'm no longer delighting in God and trusting in his plan and where he has me and seeing the beauty and the blessings of where I'm at because I'm so stuck in this other place that you're actually now being robbed of what God has for you in the moment, I guess. So,
right.
Yeah.
If you guys sense that in your own life of that feeling robbed of an example could be some people are so nostalgic and are stuck in the past. Some people are so forward thinking and are stuck in the future and what's to come. If you guys felt that in your own life of like coveting, specifically coveting of I'm so stuck in that and wanting or desiring that thing, and how did that manifest itself for you guys?
I feel like it's been, I don't know what you think, Britt, but like it's been different stages for me where I'm more forward focused or more rear focused, I guess.
It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be like forward focused or past focused. Yeah. I'm more just how that kind of, we tend to be drawn to something.
There's probably like so many different seasons. I remember like at a certain point, like when Connor and I first got married, he like just started being a barber. I just started working at church part-time. We just like weren't making like barely any money. We're like barely making ends meet. And I remember just being like jealous that I felt like God wasn't providing for me the way like he did for other people. Like, and it seemed really easy. Or just like not having a clear even career path like I felt like some people had. And I was watching like a reel and I don't even know what church group it was, but they were like challenging you, like if you feel like God isn't like providing for you in a certain way, like tell him, like he wants to show you who he is. And I remember being like, God, you're not giving me enough money. Like, I want more money. Not in like a, I want to be a millionaire way. That would be really nice.
And sometimes but it's just hard because like, it's like, I just want to
like, I got some credit card debt I'd like to pay off. Like, it was
can I reach the 75,000 threshold where that window, at least, where people are more content in that window than any other window?
Yeah, and I actually remember like, I don't know if it probably crossed over into coveting because I just was like bitter and like not happy for everyone else at a certain point. And I remember praying that and God being like, well, you need a tithe. And I was like, what? I was like, actually, like,
that's the opposite
that makes
direction.
Me mad. So I actually like really truly started regularly tithing for like the first time, which is probably terrible to admit. Because I grew up in church my entire life. And then I feel like it was like a good like 6 months later that like Connor got way more established in his business. And like I finally like went full time, got a good raise. And I remember just like crying because like God showed me that in an off route way where I had to start giving first. But yeah, I felt like that was a good exercise for me of just like, if you feel like God isn't providing for you in a certain area, like tell him that, like he wants to do it with you. He wants to show you who he is, like, cause he is God, our provider, you know?
That's really good. Just keep asking her.
No, don't ask me.
That was great. How about for you? How's it showed up for you in your life?
I remember, this is like my teenage years, like, which is quite embarrassing being, smitten by this girl who had a boyfriend.
Uh-oh, don't tell Carly.
And it was like, I was depressed until I had got my time to be able to date her. And it was, I looked back and I was like, you're an idiot. Like, you're way too consumed. And it's that, the waiting, my prefrontal cortex was not fully developed back then and nor was my emotions. Like, but that sense of just my joy being completely robbed because of this idea. It wasn't even the thing, it was this idea that just wasn't healthy whatsoever. It's interesting, you mentioned James 4, where he talks, he said, you desire but you do not have, so you kill, you covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And in that whole context, he's describing it as like of children. It's to do with maturity and how this coveting is actually a practice of the immature. It's a practice of being a child. Mm-hmm. Another word I think we could tie to is entitlement. Where we're working through this with our boys right now is because they think they deserve this. They look at, so there's 2 years between them, and Milo, our youngest, he'll look at what Watson gets and be like, that's what I should have. And I remember it was the same thing for me. I'm the youngest as well. And you saw your older, I have two older sisters, and they would go to bed at like 9 and I was stuck going to bed at like 8. And you're like, why can't I stay up? Like right. you feel entitled by something, and I think get so wrapped up in feeling that we are entitled to get something. And that's so much of an idea that we put in our head of I deserve, I'm entitled to that pay raise, I'm entitled to that thing, and we just get stuck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we do.
In that cycle of like, oh, I deserve it.
And I think it's such, I don't, it's probably a problem all over the world, but I just feel like in America, especially when there's so much like,
oh yeah,
success and develop and climb the corporate ladder and pay raise in this suburb or this, where it can be so easy to just, yeah, we live in that comparison culture of just like, for whatever reason now I'm thinking that's the expectation. And so then if I'm not getting that, it just can so quickly lead to, well, I deserve that, or why don't I have that, or is God more in favor of them than me? I mean, it can lead down that whole just kind of pathway of just unhealthy thinking, where I like how you phrase that, though. It's really, it's kind of a good test of maturity to like be able to see where are you at in your walk with with God. We all struggle. It's not like we never don't struggle anymore, but to be able right. to decipher, though, and learn like, man, my heart is leaning towards something that is, yeah, it's just off. And what am I delighting in? Am I truly okay and can find peace and contentment with where God has me right now, because I trust in him and his right. goodness and faithfulness.
Right. And like, I think gratitude to God for like the things you actually have now is a really good tool to like not live in that, like, I deserve these things and I need this extra stuff and then I'm going to be happy. Because also like the true part of it is like, you're going to get that house, you're going to get that relationship. It's going to disappoint you.
That's right.
Yeah. And like, you have to, yeah, be thankful for what God's given you. And also just like, ask God to search your heart and find those ways where you're not thinking like properly. I don't know.
You mentioned to do like kind of the American way. Now, I, being a foreigner, being from Scotland, it was so glaringly obvious to me of this drive. You describe it, the corporate ladder. Even in the UK, like Carly has been finding out in the last couple of years how many people from Scotland go to Florida on holiday. He's like, why would you go to Florida? What about, why Florida? Like, go to Spain, go to Italy. Sure, like, you've got all these right. places in Europe. And there's this idea, I think, in Europe, and especially around the world, of like, oh, there's something about America that is quite special. And there is. But there's like anywhere, there's downsides.
Yeah.
And that's one of the downsides of the culture, this hyper-individualistic culture of, I can, if I just work really hard, I can get what I, there's this entitlement that, I can, is that something you guys like feel? Like, you guys grew up here, you're American. Is that something that you feel? Is that something that you just see? Like, I'm curious what you guys, how you guys process that.
I mean, even in the church world, I feel like I can feel this. I'm a driven person, and like you like, we pay attention to dashboards, you know, we study other churches, and like, there can be this very American like church growth, like, or you're just about the numbers and the size. And so I can have these expectations of like, okay, when did I launch my campus? What year are we in that now? And comparing that to like, where are other people? And like, it can be so easy to covet that, or to covet that growth, or to think that, well, I should be further along and why aren't we? Or, and that can so easily misguide me to now being able to just view, I totally warps the way I view people in a totally right. unhealthy way, versus seeing the people God has placed us in, the community that he has placed us in, and just the love and care that he has for them that we ought to be demonstrating to them. But I think in the church world, for sure, I can so quickly, and have at times in my life, kind of viewed ministry more that way, as just like, we should be here. Are we growing? Or did we show up on the 100 fastest this year or not? And if not, right. oh no. So I don't know. Yeah, I definitely can feel that even in ministry.
I definitely feel like in the States, though, it's totally prevalent. I was watching some documentary about like the fact that we buy like so many more clothes than like decades of people before us, like, it used to be like you'd have a shirt for like 10 years and like that's what you wore. Now you buy like an entire new wardrobe every like 3 months, every new season. Like, it's so much like, and this is what like capitalism in the world sells, is like, if you get these things, then you're going to be happy. I mean, I feel like that's like a lot of what marketing does to you too. It's just like discontentment.
Like, I was talking to Callum earlier of like, I want to, you know, golf clubs, like looking at, but every year it's like, there's new, I mean, it's just every year there's something new to pursue, but that does, it feeds into this, like, I need that, or I must have that, or I can't find contentment now. And so we start to chase after these other things. It's certainly, I mean,
I think social media too is like just exasperated that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy with, you know, my living space until I like see this person's. And like, I don't even always think it's a conscious thing you're thinking, but then you like start to get like, well, I should probably upgrade my space and I should do this. And like, it's just like quietly bred in there. Like, I need something different and I need something more.
Yeah, I feel like if you were to like try to break down the amount of time our headspace is occupied with, I love what you said earlier of like being grateful and content with where I'm at versus how much time do we spend just observing and thinking about the things we don't have. Yeah. I think very much, you know, I can live in that world of, and social media does that so well, of just like seeing constantly what we don't have, or we're comparing it against what other people have versus what we have.
That highlights, you made a point, coveting is when your desire is pointed at something that isn't for you. And social media, I feel like, is the platform more than ever where it is presenting what someone else has that is kind of basically saying, this is what you should want.
Yeah. Right.
It's pseudo marketing. It's creating this desire for us to want something that isn't for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, we've kind of talked about those sort of subtle desires, the kind of things, even the cultural tide that kind of pulls us in. Would you classify that as coveting? Or is it just an unhealthy desire? Or is just an unhealthy desire coveting?
Yeah, I would say coveting, is when a good desire becomes unhealthy. Or whenever a desire is like pulling you into now, like we've talked about, either you're not being content or you're now starting to want something that isn't for you. I mean, where exactly that line is can be maybe hard to really pin down, but I think...
Help us figure out how we find that line.
Well, like, I'm not a pastor, so like you probably know. But, like, I think the way like we spend money and the fact that like so many people are in debt, like, I think the Bible calls us to be even wise with our money. If you're like, if you're needing like the newest Stanley cup and you're in debt, I would almost like you're doing what you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, you're like, desiring something that might be perfectly fine for someone else, but when you look at the context you are in right now, is not a wise choice,
right?
Because it's causing you to do something that wouldn't be best for you.
Yeah. Almost. I wouldn't be legalistic about it. And sure, it's like, you don't really know anyone's financial situation, but like,
So there's a kind of lack of wisdom there, like practical wisdom. Mm-hmm. What else? How do you find that line?
I think like some of even what I talk about at the end of just like, it's a good thing to ask that question of like inviting God into your life of just like, how, God, help me see where I'm misaligned and help me to see those things. Cause sometimes I feel like they can hide, and I even talk about how they can even hide behind a good thing. But I guess if it's starting to rob my delight in God, or I'm starting to find my identity or value in something else other than God, that's probably where the line is. I feel like that's still pretty vague, but I don't know. Yeah.
What I'm seeing is the need of a TV show that instead of Marie Kondo, it's Nate Miller is like finding out the areas that spark joy and doesn't spark joy in your life. Yeah. Is this an area of coveting in your life? Does this spark joy? Yeah. I'd love to move to, all right, talking about coveting, to what does it look like not necessarily to just not covet, because even as we are rounding out our series on the Ten Commandments, the point is just to simply not do something, but it's to desire God more, is what you talk about in your message.
Right. Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit more about that.
I think, right. I mean, I'm so guilty. I see a list of something and I'm like, okay, here's the Ten Commandments. I'm going to not lie. I'm going to try to not do all of these things. And it can kind of, we can view rules or these commands, especially, you know, the Ten Commandments, as just like, somehow this is bad. This is restrictive. Like, God's stealing my fun or my joy or like all of that. But I think throughout the series, we've been trying to help people see, like, this is ultimately like the way of life. So like, this is how God forms us. So the reason I don't covet is because God's forming something within me that is helping me to experience his blessing and goodness. I don't want to steal from someone or commit adultery, not because God is holding out on me or because he's trying to be restricted of me, but he's forming something inside of me that is helping to direct my heart towards him, because that's what's best. And behind that is like what you were saying, Britt, of like even tithing. Like, it took you a while, but like once, you know, 6 months of doing that, like your heart started to change and the way that you saw and viewed things started to change. And so that to me is like a beautiful example of Psalm 37:4, that as I like learn the ways of God and delight in him and follow him, now I start to actually experience true change. And like my desires are now starting to change. So I'm not, it's not just because I'm following this list of do's and don'ts and I'm going to try harder. No, it's, I want to delight in these things and delight in him, because these are the things that are like the way to life, the way to experience life.
Right. It's like, it's about like being in relationship with him and him changing those things in you. And it's not like just checking off a box. Like, because we can so try to, like, not covet in our own power, like, all of these things. Like, if I just do all of these things, then I'm good. But we can still even miss the point there. Like, you could see the list of the Ten Commandments and follow all of those rules, and you still don't have a relationship with God. It's not, like, necessarily on your own power. It's being able to be in a relationship with him. What was that verse? Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. Delight in the Lord, be with him, and he actually changes what the desires of your heart are.
Yeah.
And it's not just like a one check mark thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a tension, probably goes as far as to a paradox, that we see in scripture of trusting and trying, where you talk in your message, and I do encourage you, I know we've been talking about this for a little while now in this podcast, but I'd encourage you to go and listen to Nate's message at northridgerochester.com. Valuable to just go and soak in a really clear and concise way. There's a tension between, in the waiting specifically, between, all right, if it's a job, I'm waiting for a better job. This tension, and that's not a bad thing, there's this tension between how much am I just waiting and trusting and how much am I waiting and trying?
Sure.
That's a really hard balance to strike. Do you have any wisdom for people?
Well, I think that ultimately it gets at your heart again, because there's nothing wrong with working hard, and you should be working hard. If you're looking for a job, you should be out there. You should be whatever you're doing. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Why is that? Well, it's because I'm not trying to like earn the praise of people or mankind or whoever. I'm delighting in God. So I'm doing everything kind of for him. So again, I don't do these things to get God. I do these things because I already have found him, and I've found life, purpose, and meaning. And so out of that now flows like this desire to want to follow him and honor him. So in that example, I would say, try, but don't let the trying be your identity. Don't let the trying be how you are finding acceptance or even contentment. It's more you're trying because that's already settled. Like, the contentment stuff's settled. Whether I have a job or not, God's got this. Oh. So I'm going to work hard knowing whatever happens, he's going to provide in his time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a delicate balance. I believe in both. I think like
I'm also very much a it doer depends. Too.
Like, me too. I'm like very much productivity. Like,
yes.
But I think like sometimes when we get to the end of what we've tried for, we can be like, look what I did. And
right,
like, sure. Oh, there's this happened. Tangent. I got this raise because I asked for it. We don't know what God was like working in the scenes, like behind the scenes for mm-hmm. us. So it's also like at the end of your trying, do you think it's because of what you did? Or do you think it's because of what like God's allowing and providing for you too? So I feel like it's just like constantly
that's so true.
Assessing your own heart and also being like, you're allowing this in my life. God, I'm going to work hard to honor you, but I don't know. I also have seen sometimes it can like swing in the opposite way where some Christians like think I don't need to stand up for myself. I don't need to ask for a raise. I don't need to do this mm-hmm. because I just have to wait. The Bible tells me to just wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And where I think there's like seasons of that, I feel like it can go like so far that you're just like not really doing anything.
Yeah. What does it mean to delight in God for you?
Yeah.
It's a deep question.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It just each day, I don't know. I try to, like, just the reality of I'm alive. He's given me life. And just to be grateful and thankful for the life that he has given me. So just to try to see him in the daily moments, to all of life. I mean, practically that can look like, you know, being in his word and praying, but I think it's more of, like you said, it's this desire, it's this mindset of each day of like, God, I'm just grateful to be here and to be alive. And I love you. And I want to reflect that love to wherever I am at. And so I think it's like the small things. It's not the big things. It's choosing to love Emily well, be there for my kids, because out of that and my love for God, I'm hopefully reflecting that to the people around me. But
right,
I don't know.
I know it's a tough question. I feel like gratitude is like a big thing for that. And, like, I'm not just, like, grateful for this amazing cup of coffee, but, like, acknowledging, like, God in that cup of coffee. That sounds really, like, woo-woo, but, like, like, yeah. Wow, this is amazing. Thanks, God, you gave me great things.
Right.
I was chewing on this. When we go back to Scotland, we go to this island called Isla. And I even wrote some stuff down, and I think it was... I'm going to find this because I said, I wrote down, walk a little slower, breathe a little deeper, look a little longer. That was kind of the thing that I kind of took away. Because every time I go back, so Iona, which is a different island in Scotland, it's been described, there's a monastery there, there's Christianity has been there for a long time. It's where Columba came and brought Christianity to effectively Europe. And the concept of a thin place is where it's between heaven and earth. It's this like thin space where the presence of God is just a little closer. That's kind of the concept. And I find that whenever I go to Isla. And I wrestle with, when I go, I just sense God's presence, but not in this sort of same kind of worship time on a Sunday or a worship night, that kind of a thing, the quintessential experiencing God. And but it leads me to walk a little slower, breathe a little deeper, look a little longer. And I wrestle because like we have these things in our in Christianity that we ought to be doing all this stuff for him, quote unquote, for the mission. That it makes us speed up.
Right.
It makes us just kind of go from one thing to the next. And I wrestle with this tension between when I'm in, specifically in nature, I don't think you can leave God's, what has been made by God, that you walk a little faster, that you breathe shallower, and you look less. But in what's created by man, you kind of do those things. But when you're with God, you walk a little slower, breathe a little deeper, look a little longer, and just delight. There's something in there for me that I think being in creation, whether that's like coffee that he has created and given to us, there's just something, the closer we get to what he has made. Like you talked about your family, when you're doing, God made us and we're with his creation, there's something that kind of produces a delight in us, I think. Because I really wrestle with this when it comes to the, we go either the hyper emotional or the hyper rational, where it's just all what we know or all what we feel. I need to feel this delight in him. I need to know that, I need to know all this stuff. And
but then there's those moments where it's just so present and real.
Yeah,
like Isla is for you.
And I think those moments are important for like delighting in the Lord. Like for you, that's going there. But like for some people, like for me, I find like when I'm truly like delighting in the Lord is like private worship. Like I love worship music. I love getting able to, being able to do it on a Sunday. But like that's not always where I'm like delighting in the Lord the most. It's like when do I feel most like in his presence? Like when do I feel him the most? Like that's really when I'm,
because like all the motivation like, is stripped away. There's no crowd. There's no audience. It's just you.
Like it's like you and God. Right. Like where is that for like each person?
And I think each person may have those moments where they have a different Isla in terms of like where that sense of closeness or like intimacy with God is more present than, you know, than others.
Yeah.
But that's true. Yeah.
Maybe we should leave it there. I mean, well, I was thinking we could maybe wrap up the series, but I think that as even in your message you talked about, I think wraps up and it comes back to relationship with God. And rather than being focused on the things of like, what's the area of coveting that we need to kind of confess? Maybe it's, where is the place? Where is the, you said the Isla, where's the thing that we can, or the place, the space, and where we can delight in him. Whether it's private worship, whether it's Isla, whether it's in a tree stand hunting or something.
It's almost here. One more month till deer season.
Like that we find that we can walk a little slower, breathe a little deeper, look a little longer, and find his peace, his presence. Because ultimately, the Ten Commandments are there for what's best for us, to help us be in relationship with him. So hopefully this series, this conversation has been an encouragement to you to press into where God is going to be so that you can delight in him, that you can be in a more loving, enriching relationship with him, and so that we can take that to the rest of the world. Hopefully you come back next week. We're starting another series called Through the Fire. Unless the series name's changed, but I don't think it has.
No, that's it.
Through the Fire, where we're talking about the happy, joyful topic of suffering.
Woo! Let's go.
But I really honestly encourage you to tune into the messages for this series. I think it's going to be really hard in some ways, but we can't escape suffering. It's what we do with it that's an important thing. So hopefully see you next week on A Little Better. Catch you next week.